know him? Do you know by him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? John baptized him. John baptized him. John baptized Jesus Christ, God's Son. And do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Judas betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, God's Son. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Well, Peter denied him. Peter denied him. Peter denied Jesus Christ, God's Son. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Well, Thomas, he doubted him. Thomas doubted him. Thomas, he doubted Jesus Christ, God's Son. Well, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ, God's Son? Oh yes, I know him. Yes, I know him. Yes, I know Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Good afternoon, everyone. Jesus is awesome. Our scripture reading this evening, will you please stand? Scripture reading is coming out of Isaiah 40th chapter. And it reads, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, faint not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he ceases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they that shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the doing of His holy word. Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, I stretch my hand to Thee. No other help I know. If Thou withdraw Thyself from me, oh, where shall I go? This evening, dear Heavenly Father, we come to You as humbly as we know how, thanking You for last night's rest and our early rise this morning. Father, we thank You when You touched us this morning that our family and was doing all right. Father, we thank You for putting food on the table. We thank You for putting roof over our head. Now, Father, we ask You to just forgive us our many sins of omission and commission, sins that we know about, sins that we don't know about. And, Father, we just thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on the cross that we might have a right to the tree of life. And, Father, we know that He didn't stay dead. He got up with all power in His hand. He sits at the right side of You, Father. So, Father, we know He making intercessions for us and forgiving us of our sins that we're committing against You. Father, we just thank You now. Father, we ask You to go with the sick and the shut in, Father. Bless them, Father. Healing is in Your hands, Father. So we ask You to just give them the blessing that You know they stand in the need of. Not only that, Father, we ask You to just be with the bereaving family this evening, Father. Let them know that You're too wise to make a mistake. And, Father, we know that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So, Father, we just thank You. Not only that, Father, we just ask You to bless all the guys stretched across the front here, Father. Give them the blessing You know that they stand in the need of. And, Father, we ask You to just bless this entire congregation, Father. And we ask You to just go with them and stand by them. And, Father, we just ask You to bless our pastor, Father. Keep him in Your care. Prop him up on every leaning side. Help him to stand boldly and preach Your holy and divine word to men, women, boys, and girls come asking, what must I do to be saved? Not only that, Father, we just bless his wife and bless his family, Father, and keep them in Your care. Bless our former pastor, Pastor Walker. Bless his family. Keep him in Your care. Not only that, Father, but bless the man that's going to break the bread tonight for us, Father. Keep dipping down in Your storehouse of knowledge, Father, and let us bring us another message on from on high. And, Father, we just ask You to go with him and stand by him, Father. Father, You said we can ask anything in Your name and You would do it. So we know that a cattle on 1,000 hills belong to You. We know that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So You know that You can do anything, Father, but You just can't fail. So we ask You to just give us a revival tonight. Finish our revival up tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask You to go with our local leaders, our state leaders, and our national leaders, Father. Give them the knowledge and the wisdom to govern these Your people in these last and evil days. And Father, when it's all said and done, when You call us and we must answer, Father, we ask You to give us a home in heaven where we can live and be with Thee forever. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Good evening, you saints of God.
Amen.
It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time before death. You know, last night the preacher was telling about we need grace in the pit. Guess what? We need grace out the pit too. Amen. Because we need Jesus every second, every minute, every hour of the day. And that's why tonight I'm glad to say this song right here. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. Jesus signed me up. Jesus signed me up. And He changed my name. And He changed my name. And I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm free. I'm so glad
and free. I'm so glad I'm free. Jesus, sign me up. Jesus, sign me up. Whoa, and he changed my name. And I'm so glad I'm free. I'm so glad I got joy. I'm so glad I got joy. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got joy. Jesus signed me up. Whoa. And he changed my name. And I'm so glad I got joy. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that I'm saved. Jesus, sign me up. 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 Did he sign you up? Jesus, sign me up. Whoa. And he changed my name. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I'm saved. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for lending us your voices and songs and prayer. Without further ado, we're going to turn it over to the hands of the pulpit.
He's greatly to be praised. Come on, put your hands together and bless him. Bless him for blessing you. Come on, you can do better than that. Give him your best praise. Bless him for blessing you. Come on, God has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we all do glad about him. It's another day's journey. God has certainly navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. And it's good to be alert. Amen. God has blessed us enough already. We had 10,000 tongues. We couldn't thank him enough. And then he has been gracious to bring us to this revival, this season of revival, where he's restoring, refocusing, redirecting, re-energizing us for his great work. That he's doing it that we will be more committed to him. We have more confidence in him and more compassion for one another. We live in a cold world. And the Lord wants us to love one another and serve one another as we serve him. Certainly again tonight we thank God for these preachers, the persons of Dr. Rogers, Reverend Mims, Dr. Walker, Reverend Douglas, Reverend McCoy, and certainly to Pastor Greg, amen, Craig that's here, amen, he and his wife, and then Reverend Van. Do we have any other preachers? Amen. Bless God for their presence. Amen. And the preacher is here and he's raring and ready. But I want to give us perspective before Dr. Walker comes to lead us in prayer. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 80. Psalm 80. One verse, one sentence. Psalm 80. Certainly we thank God for the deacons and trustees who have devoted us, who has postured our hearts to God. That's important, imperative, if we are going to experience revival. Amen. And revival is more than an event. It's an experience. You come here to see the Lord, hear from him. Yield yourself to his voice and his word. God speaks. And I'm excited tonight to hear what he has to say to us. What word we have received on last night and the night before Tuesday night. I'm excited. I'm excited. Elephant excited to hear from the Lord. Psalms 80. Psalm 80, verse or sentence 19. I think this ought to be all our prayer tonight. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Listen to that again. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You know, in the Old Testament, that word saved means delivered. That you can be saved on earth and in bondage, in shackles, in fetters. But the Lord knows how to save. He knows how to deliver us. That's where our confidence comes into play, that we have confidence in him. We take him at his word. We lay all of our weight upon him and trust him to deliver us. We commit ourselves to his work, that regardless of the opposition that we experience and face, we know God will not only see us to it, but he'll see us through it. And we keep our hands a hold of the plow. And we plow the road straight for the Lord, because we're not distracted by all the noises, by all the happenings that's going on around us. And then we love one another. Lord of hosts, save us. As you stand, the altar is open. As Dr. Walker get ready to come and lead us in prayer, come to the place of exchange. I know we're in COVID, but I'm not giving COVID more credit and attention that I give the Lord. I understand where we are and what we're going through, but listen, when you need something from the Lord, you have to press your way into his presence. You have to get rid of all of the distractions. One thing I know about God, he's omniscient. He knew about COVID before COVID came to be. But he still said in his word in Hebrews chapter 10, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Satan threw his best shot at us, and we're still here. Preach on last night said it's about the right period. But some of us have contracted COVID in this period, not in 2020, but 2022. That God has mowed down COVID. Press into his presence. Listen, if someone said to you, pray for me, when you pray, you ought to be at the altar. Interceding and asking God to be merciful and gracious. You ought to be at the altar thanking God for sparing your life. COVID is not the only thing that can kill you. You got shootings everywhere. You got car accidents, cancer, sugar diabetes, strokes, and heart attacks. You ought to be a doctor thanking God that he spared you. But then you look around, not just you, your family, those of your household, and those were killed, be spared. Dr. Walker is coming to lead us in prayer.
Sense enough that you the one woke us up this morning. You watched over us and brought us thus far to this appointed place. We want to take time out for you to just thank you for letting us come this far, because so many got up this morning and didn't go no further. We're not here because we good and better than nobody else, but because of your grace and your mercy. First of all, forgive us for all our many sins and cleanse us, wash us whiter than snow. We realize, dear God, you're a God that hears us when we call you. So glad you're a God that have no respect to person. And I'm praying and lifting up every soul that's standing here now. You know all our hearts, and I pray that you'll bless every soul. You know what we need. Even before we ask you, you already know this. Well, we find out we can't keep ourselves. We're not here because of we better than other folks, but we're here because of your grace and mercy. So many wish they had the opportunity just to be here, to come before a holy and a righteous God in the mongs of the saints. Bless. Have your way tonight. We thank you for our evangelist, dear God, who already brought the word of God. Continue letting down in your storehouse, Heavenly Father. Let your anointing be in him and on him, Heavenly Father. Let him say what you want him to say, and let him say it with power. Save lost souls again. Strengthen us where we be. We pray in Heavenly Father for our country, America. And we pray for our president. We pray for his staff. And we pray for every pastor, every preacher, dear God, that you done called and sent. If there was a time we need the gospel, we need it now. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, dear God, that make a soul where it was old become new again. So we pray that you will have your way. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We depending on you, because you able. Who else can we call on, dear God? You able. Someone right now, dear God, needs you. They need you because they have tried everything and it failed them. But you cannot fail. Thank you now for our being here. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for another chance that we can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything said and done, you got the glory, the honor and the praise. It's in the powerful name of Jesus. And the whole church say amen.
I shall wear a crown. can be greater. God, our Father, how we thank you for the hope of home. Thank you that when we get home, we got a new wardrobe. We got a reward, a crown that we'll only wear for a little while because we're going to cast it down at the feet of He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the hope of home. But until we get there, we need you to speak to us. We need you to deliver us and develop us and direct us, strengthen us, establish us while we're on the way home. So God, I need you tonight to forgive me of my sins. These people are too important to you for you to leave me up here by myself. They're too heavy for me. So forgive me of my sins. Fill me full of your Holy Spirit. Fit me and fix me in your service tonight. I sure do need you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you in some kind of way, if God has been good to you, give him some kind of praise? He ain't done nothing for you, don't worry about it. Let me tell you, I just thank God for, I thank God for the presence. I thank God for letting me meet and to come into contact with your pastor, Pastor Rogers. Come on, thank God for him, would you? Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Thank God good. I thank God for him. And I thank God. I tell you, I thank God. I thank God for Pastor Emeritus. Come on, thank God for him. Would you? I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. If I can look that good at 86... my wife let me, I'm going to get me about two or three more wives. If I can look that good at 86. Come on, thank God for him again, would you? Amen. The man I refer to as Pop Rogers is in the house tonight. I want to thank God for him and all of these other ministers in the pulpit and all of you. I thank God for all of you. Thank you for letting me be myself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You ain't got to say nothing, but just look at the person on the row and just thank God for them. Just look at them and nod your head a little bit. Let them know I thank God for you. For those of you who are connected virtually, You could be doing something else, but I thank God that you have connected, and I thank you for your prayers. Some of you will watch this later on in the week, later on tonight, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you as well. Would y'all turn with me to Matthew 26? Y'all turn with me to Matthew 26. Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, him belong. They are weak, but the Lord is so strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, yeah. Jesus loves me. Anybody here tonight can be a witness, and you're glad about it. You can say it. Jesus loved me. For the Bible tells me so. Matthew 26, I want to begin at verse 6, the 6th verse of the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Verse 7, and a woman came with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head, and as he reclined at the table. Verse 8, the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, "Why this waste?" I want to talk tonight from the subject matter, "It's not a waste." Can you say it with me? It's not a waste. Say it again. It's not a waste. Some of you remember Gene Siskel and Robert Ebert. Siskel and Ebert came on the air in 1985. Siskel and Ebert were movie critics. I think they started on PBS and were picked up by ABC. It ran from about 1985 to about 1999 when one of them died. Siskel and Ebert gave critique to movies. They sat in chairs, gave critiques to movies, and they watched the movies, and they said based on their critique whether you should go see it or not. They gave critique to either actors or plots. The plot was good, actors were bad. Actors were good, plot was bad. They would give thumbs up if the movie was good, thumbs down if the movie was bad. Sometimes Siskel would give a thumb up, Ebert would give a thumb down. Sometimes Ebert would give a thumb up, Siskel would give a thumb down. Sometimes both of them would give thumbs up, sometimes both would give thumbs down. They made millions. They made millions giving critique to movies. Siskel and Ebert did that. They made millions giving critique to movies. Millions. They were millionaires giving critique to movies. It amazes me that they made millions doing something that most of y'all do for free. They made millions doing something that you do for free, and that is give critique. That's all some people do, is give critique and don't get paid for it. They criticize your moves, or they criticize your motives, or they criticize your methods. Either they say you did the wrong thing, or they say you did the right thing the wrong way. Many of you in here tonight were on the verge and the cusp of greatness, but you listened to some critics and you gave up, you gave in, you quit, you threw in the towel, all because of some critics. Brothers and sisters, many of you have the ability to get some great things done. You have the ability and you have the resources, but what you can't stand is criticism. You can't stand critique. You can't stand the mouth of some people who question your motives or your methods. I heard a story. Let me tell you something. You ain't gonna never satisfy everybody. I heard a story in college about a man and his son and a donkey as they were traveling in antiquity, and where they were going, they had to go through several small villages, and they started out that morning with the man walking, leading the donkey and the boy on the back of the donkey. They got to the first village and somebody said, "Look at that. That boy ought to be ashamed of himself making his daddy walk while he's riding the donkey." So they get to the edge of the village and the father says, "Well, maybe I should ride the donkey, and son, you walk." They get to the next village and somebody says, "That man ought to be ashamed of himself making his son walk while he's riding comfortable on that donkey." They get to the end of that village and the father says, "Well, maybe both of us should get on the donkey." They get to the next village. Somebody said, "They ought to be ashamed of themselves, both of them riding on that puny donkey." They get to the end of that village and the father says, "Well, maybe, son, you and I should walk." They get to another village and somebody says, "Look at them fools walking when one of them or two of them could be riding the donkey." Moral of the story, you cannot satisfy everybody. Somebody always got something to say about what you were doing. And when you are doing it for the Lord, when you are trying your best, when you're giving the best of your service for the Lord, you are going to have to withstand criticism. And I come to talk to somebody tonight because listening to people, they will make you think that what you are doing is a waste. What you're doing that for? What they doing that for? Why are you coming to church during the week? Didn't you just come Sunday? Why are you giving your offering? Why are you serving as a deacon? Why are you preaching? I got a family reunion this weekend, and if I don't hear this 1,000 times, you still preaching? What the hell you think I'm going to do other than preach? What you mean am I still preaching? God is still good, ain't he? I'm still alive. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm getting myself ready. What you doing that for? Do you ever get questioned as it relates to your methods and motives of life? Sunday is the most relaxing day of the week. I mean, the Westerns are on TV. In a little bit, we're going to have football every Sunday. And here you and I are waking up early Sunday morning to come to church to sing songs about a God we ain't seen. We just seen what he been doing. To hear a sermon from somebody that's probably struggling with life issues just like we are. You could be at home resting. You could be relaxing. But you're going to get up. Some of y'all been at work all day long. You came to church tonight and then you got to wake up in the morning and go back to work again. Somebody, you ought to be at home relaxing and chilling. What you doing that for? I could go on. We have Muslims and Hebrew Israelites who say that the black folk in America have been worshiping a white Jesus for nothing. Now, I don't know what color he is. I know he was born in brown Asia. He fled to black Africa. And if he's white, you don't hide a white man in the ghetto. He fled to black Africa and was back in heaven before the gospel made it to white Europe. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what color he is, but whatever color he is, he was with us in slavery and got us out of slavery. He was with us at the back of the bus and he got us to the front of the bus. I don't know what color he is, but I ain't changing God now because he brought us too far. Now y'all stay with me because there's one thing to receive criticism outside of the church. It's another thing for people who are in the sanctuary and who've been with the Lord, who've watched him walk on water, who've watched him feed the hungry. It's another thing for them to look at your efforts to bless the Lord and then say it's a waste. And in this text, y'all don't miss it. The Bible says that there's a woman who blesses the Lord and she gets criticized and she gets railed on and she gets scorned for blessing the Lord, and the scorning comes from some people who are around the Lord. It's the disciples. It's one thing for people in the world to tell you that what you're doing is a waste. Y'all gonna make me preach in here tonight. It's another thing for my dear to tell you. It's another thing for Junebug them to tell you. It's another thing for little sister and little mama them to tell you. And they are the ones on the usher ministry. They are the ones in the choir that tell you what you are doing for the Lord is a waste. This story, brothers and sisters, is recorded by 3 of the Gospels, perhaps 4, if it's the same woman. Mark chapter 14, Matthew chapter 26, John chapter 12 record this woman blessing the Lord with this alabaster box. Now, if it's the same woman, Luke calls her an ex-prostitute. And it's Mary, the sister of Lazarus. The Bible says that Jesus is in Bethany on Passion Week. Matthew is going to say 2 days before Passover. John is going to say 6 days, which places it either the Saturday night before the triumphant entry or somewhere around Wednesday. They are trying to figure out how to get Jesus. They are plotting to get Jesus. And in the midst of all of that, he is at Simon the leper's house in Bethany. Simon lives in Bethany, and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live in Bethany. Jesus stays at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house when he is in Bethany. But they get invited to a supper over at Simon the leper's house. So they travel to Simon the leper's house for this supper. This is where all this stuff takes place. Now let me share something with you. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus travel to Simon the leper's house with Jesus. So they're sitting at the table. Listen who's at the table. Simon the ex-leper. If this Mary is the same Mary from Luke, Mary the ex-prostitute. And according to John 12, Lazarus is there, who is an ex-dead man. Okay, I'm going to do it again. Simon is at the table. He's an ex-leper. Mary is at the table. She's an ex-prostitute. Lazarus is at the table. He's an ex-dead man. Because in worship, you got a bunch of exes. This church tonight looks just like that table. We got a bunch of exes in here tonight. I know you're dressed up. I know you got your Bible. I know that you got your I Love Jesus t-shirt on. But the truth of the matter is, all of us in here tonight are a bunch of exes. Now, the only way you are not an ex is if you're still a R. I need somebody to be honest with me up in here tonight. Any exes up in here tonight? Greg X, Bob X, Shirley X. But the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. They're at this table, and all of a sudden, Mary jumps up with this vial of very costly perfume. A vial. Very costly perfume. It's a vial. Very costly perfume. That's sealed at the top. Now, I'm about to go somewhere, and some of y'all can't go, but others will go. Because I got to explain to you what this vial looked like. And some people don't know the reference. If you don't know the reference, just look straight ahead. There's some of us know the reference. There's a little bottle called Maker's Mark. That's sealed at the top. Wait. It's called Maker's Mark. And it's a bottle that's sealed at the top. Well, I guess I'm the only one in here that knows. Trust me. At your local ABC store. On the whiskey aisle, it ain't vodka. It ain't tequila. Don't ask me how I know, they told me. That's the type vial that this is. Now the vial ain't important. The perfume on the inside is what's important. What's on the inside is what's important. It's a very costly perfume. It ain't toilet water. It's costly perfume. It's in this vial that's sealed at the top. And in order to get the perfume on the inside, on the outside, you got to break it. Because it's pretty. It's a little vial with a lot of decorations on it. But the decorations ain't important. It's what's on the inside. Because in order for you to get on the inside, on the outside, it's got to be broken. Oh, God. Y'all going to catch it in a minute. It's something on the inside. But in order to get the best that's on the inside, outside, it's got to be broken. Okay, y'all still ain't feeling me. You watching that person beside you keep waving their hand? You watching this sister singing tonight and wonder how she sang like that? She looks just like this vial. There was a song on the inside of her at birth. But in order to get it out, she had to be broken. I wish I had some help in here. You wonder how Pastor Rogers stand up here on Sunday morning. How does he preach like that? Well, God put that preaching in him at birth. But in order to get that preaching out of him, God had to break him. And you got somebody sitting next to you right now, and you're wondering why they can worship like they worship. But the truth of the matter is that they've been... Touch him and tell him I've been broken. She breaks it and anoints the body of Jesus. John says the aroma fills the room. And at this point, the disciples who've been with Jesus for 3 years, church folk, get indignant. And they start scolding this woman. Get on away from here. What you call yourself doing? This is a waste. Oh, no, count Judas. Says this could have been sold for over 300 pence. Over 300 pence. This stuff is worth a year's wage. And since he was stealing money out the bag, hold on, y'all. Wait a minute. Just stay with me. Stay with me. I ain't going to be long. Stay with me. The Bible calls it a waste. Judas says it's a waste. In John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says, Father, I kept all that you gave me except for the son of perdition. The word perdition is translated waste. Here it is, Judas is talking about what somebody else is doing as a waste. Because he is a waste. He's an example of false discipleship. I wish I had time. Judas didn't lose his salvation. He ain't never had it. But he experienced the messages of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and the miracles of Jesus, and still went to hell. Don't be listening to people who are waste tell you that what you're doing is a waste. they get indignant. And Jesus comes to her defense. Did you hear what I just said? The Lord comes to her defense. Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone for three reasons. Number one, because of the direction of her beautiful deed. This word good is translated beautiful. Jesus says she's done a beautiful deed. Now, there is a difference between beautiful and pretty. I got a 15-year-old son. I said, boy, let me tell you something. Don't be looking and be too impressed about a pretty woman. Because any of them can be pretty now. You can get eyelashes. You can get fake breasts. You can get a fake butt, fake hair. You can make me a pretty woman if you wanted to. That's enough stuff. I said, boy, don't you get too caught up in a pretty woman. What you want is a beautiful woman who is beautiful because beautiful is beautiful inside and out. Boy, don't be too impressed with Beyonce because what you might need is precious. Beyonce ain't gonna love you, ain't gonna help you, she can't cook, she ain't gonna let you touch her, cause she ain't gonna let you mess up her hair. Precious is gonna love you, help you, she got a job, she gonna work with you, she can cook, and set you on fire! See, the problem in church, we got too many pretty folks. We need some beautiful people. We got too many pretty praisers. We need some beautiful praisers. That what's on the inside matches what's on the outside. Jesus says this is a beautiful deed. And the direction, see, here's the problem. It's not a waste because she's not anointing y'all. She's anointing me. Don't let people tell you it's a waste. You ain't praying to them no way. I did a conference with some deacons right when COVID hit. We did a telephone conference with some deacons down in the country. So they didn't know anything about Zoom, so we had to get on conference calls. So I did this conference with these deacons. When we got on conference call, the pastor's wife said to everybody, now y'all need to mute your phones, and then we're going to ask Brother Jones to give us a prayer. Well, Brother Jones didn't know too much about muting and unmuting the phone. So Deacon Jones, about 80-something years old, the phone went silent. Went silent for about a minute. And then afterwards, somebody said, he needs to unmute his phone. Well, his daughter came in, unmuted the phone, and then somebody started saying, Dick, we missed the prayer. You prayed because your phone was muted. That 86-year-old deacon said, well, I wasn't praying to y'all no way. Jesus says it's not a waste because it's directed to me. Now I got a problem here. Because either these disciples are jealous of her or they're jealous of Jesus. What you mean? Well, they've been with him when he was walking on water. They've been with him when he raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've been with him when he took 2 fish and 5 barley loaves and fed 5,000. Here's the problem. Ain't none of them blessing him. She hasn't seen what they've seen.
That's all right.
But she's seen enough. She don't know what they know, but she knows enough. See, when you start blessing the Lord and getting on the nerves of the person that's sitting next to you, one of the problems is that you don't have as much stuff as they have, but you are impressed with what you got. God hadn't done as much for you as he's done for them, but for you, he's done enough. I wish I had. See, they're sitting there, drove up in a Lexus or a Mercedes or a BMW, and they're sitting there quiet. You drove up in a hoopty, and you didn't even know if you was going to make it to church. And here you are thanking. They got filet mignon at the house. You got some bologna. But you are thanking God for, because I might not have what you have, but I got enough. Maybe God hadn't done for me as much as he done for you. But for me, he's done enough. I'm trying to hurry, y'all. I'm trying to hunk it off. They're either jealous of this woman, or pastors, preachers. They are jealous of Jesus. Because she is blessing him and not them. We've got to always be careful that we are not jealous of Jesus. Hey, parents, can you afford for your children to get it? Or as long as they stay crippled, they can lean on you when really you're leaning on them? Can you afford for your child to say, "Mama, that's all right, I'm going to pray about it"? Can you afford for your child to say, "Mama, that's all right, the Lord will make a way somehow"?
Yeah.
See, the Lord many times have to go through powerful people to bless people who are depending on powerful people.
That's right.
And I preach and I preach and I preach. And I want people to depend on me as a preacher. And they never meet the Lord for themselves. Why don't you try him for yourself? And the love that we have for the pulpit and pulpit personalities will have that love for the Lord. Because when you get sick in the midnight, Reb can't heal you sometimes. Reb can't get to you sometime when you're on your job. Mama can't get to you when you're over at University of Alabama. But you can get down on your knees in a dorm room. You can get down on your knees at a cubicle when you can't get to church and we can't get to religious personalities. And you can call on the Lord. But the question is, are you jealous of Jesus? Because he's done some stuff for people that you can't do. People don't like you shouting and serving the Lord. Because they want you to shout and serve them. Yo, I'm trying to go. Don't ever forget that when you come to church, you are not the audience. You leave talking about, "Child, church was boring today. You ain't the audience.
That's right.
You are the performers. God is the audience. The question is not, did you enjoy service? The question is, did God enjoy service? It's not a waste because of the direction. It's not a waste, secondly, because of the delicate balance. I got to go, held you too long. Jesus says, the poor you have with you always. And whenever you want to, you can do something for them. Jesus is not dismissing work. I know that in chapter 26 of Matthew, because he just said in chapter 25 that you have met my needs when you healed, when you visited the sick, when you came to me in prison, when you clothed the naked, and when you fed the hungry. He is not dismissing work.
That's right. That's right.
He, brothers and sisters, is prioritizing worship with work. When it's time to meet the needs of the poor, meet the needs of the poor. But right now, it's time to worship.
That's right.
And y'all better have a delicate balance of both work and worship. I have deacons in the finance room and stay in that whole service.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I wish I had some help in here.
Yes, sir.
Don't let people give you a position in church and stop you from worshiping. We ought to have a no worship, no work policy in all of our churches. If you don't know how to get your tail in the sanctuary and lift up some hands and sing some songs and say hallelujah and rub some elbows, then you can't do nothing and work in the church. You can't count no money. We ain't making you no deacon. You ought not even be a preacher in the pulpit if you don't know how to worship. You got to have a delicate balance. Don't let them people make you the chairperson of the church anniversary and bother you all during the church anniversary service so that you can't even worship. You're so busy. Got to make sure this is this and that is that and everybody's over here. You better make sure all that stuff take place before church. So when worship comes, when they start devotion, don't bother me. If somebody ain't ready to say their speech, that's their problem. Because I've got to give God glory. If I don't get my worship right, I came to lift my hands. I came to do my dance. I came to give God glory. I've got to have some worship. Jesus says, look, Judas, let me tell you something about Judas. Judas is now concerned about the poor. But the other day, when we had 5,000 men, not counting women and children, Judas ain't said nothing about no money.
That's right.
You got Negroes that ain't concerned about nothing in the church until it's pastor's anniversary time.
That's right. That's right.
What we doing all that for? We got poor people in the community. What we gonna bless the pastor for? No, we got poor people with your hair money. We got poor people with your weed money. We got poor people with your football money. Let's take care of the poor then. Now it's time to bless the man of God. Take care of the poor with some of your sweetheart money. Isn't that amazing? Judas is not recorded saying anything when it's ministry time.
That's right.
You got to have a delicate balance. Get you some worship in. Don't even rest up too tight that you can't worship in. Wear you something loose so you can wave your hand. Wear you something loose so you can come to the altar at some point in the service and get out on your knees and throw your hands up and lift your head back and tell God, thank you. Because God been so good to you. Baby, you missing out on worship. That's, some of y'all need to holler. You've got mental illnesses and depression going on. You got pressure on your job, pressure in your home. Church is one of the only places you can come and holler and people don't think you're crazy. And you ought to just holler out, oh, Lord. I need somebody that needs to holler in you. I need you to try it tonight. Why don't you just at the top of your voice do it as loud as you can? Oh, Lord! I got to get in worship. If I don't get in worship, I'm going to cut somebody out, knock somebody out, put somebody out. I need to get in the presence of the Lord. You got to have a delicate balance. I'm a manly man. My mom and daddy gave birth to a man. I'm a man, but every now and then when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, y'all, I'll cry in a drop of a hat. I'll cry at somebody singing Amazing Grace in the wrong key. It don't make me no difference because when I think about where the Lord brought me from, when I think about he could have killed me. It's not a waste because of the direction of her deed. It's not a waste.
Reverend.
Because of a delicate balance. But finally, it's not a waste. Because of the details of his burial. Hear what Jesus said. He said, leave her alone. The poor you'll have with you always. But me, you will not have always. Vitamin E flat, and I'm going to try to get out. Jesus said, leave her alone. Because she has done this over and against my burial. A few days later, they are going to march him up the Via Dolorosa. Few days later, they're going to hang him high and stretch him wide. Few days later, he's going to hang between a soaring heaven and a sinning earth. And he's going to die until death is going to die. He's going to die until the old preacher said the earth is going to take a stomach virus and vomit up the souls of the Old Testament saints. He's going to die. He's going to die until mercy is going to walk up to the counter of eternity where justice is the clerk and mercy is going to say, paid in full. He's going to die until the old preacher said that the moon is going to drip away in blood. Die until the S-U-N is going to look at the S-O-N and say two suns can't shine at the same time and it's going to get dark at midnight as midnight at midday. He's going to die. Now let me just pause for a second and tell you, don't ever let a Baptist preach future, whether he's whooping or speaking, say that the Lord died, and you just sit there and look. So let me try it one more time. The Lord died. He died. Didn't he die? And they took him down off that cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And some people say it was Thursday. Others say it was Friday. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. All I know is he died. And the Bible says that some women, including Mary, could not come to the grave on the Saturday because that's the Jewish Sabbath. But early Sunday morning, after they had prepared the spices and the perfumes, early Sunday morning, while the dew was still on the roses, here these women come down to the graveyard to anoint the dead body of Jesus. But when they get there, there is nobody, because the dead body is gone. Now I need you to use your sanctified imagination and help me close this sermon, because I said the women came to anoint his body, but when they got there, the body was already gone. And I see some of those women saying, God Almighty, we made all of these spices. God Almighty, we made all of this perfume to embalm the body of Jesus, and we didn't get a chance to do it because his body ain't here. But I see Mary saying to these women, y'all didn't get a chance. Y'all didn't get a chance to anoint him, but I got a chance to anoint him, because the other day, while he was at Simon the leper's house, I had an opportunity to bless the Lord. And that's what Jesus says, leave her alone, because when they come on Sunday morning, they ain't gonna get a chance to do it. So she does it while she has time. And I want to close tonight when I say to you better bless the Lord, because in the text Jesus said she's blessing me today, because in a few days I'll be gone. But what I'm saying to you is, you better bless the Lord tonight, because in a few days you'll be gone. So what you better do is, you better lift your hands, you better lift your hands and give God glory while you have time. If the Lord has made a way for you, if the Lord has brought you out, if the Lord has opened doors for you, don't wait until the battle is over. Shout now. Shout now. Now I need you to help me. I know we're in COVID protocol, but I need you to encourage somebody. So you ain't got to hold their hand, but just give them some dap. Just connect with somebody, because somebody's thinking about giving up. Somebody's thinking about throwing in the towel, and they need some encouragement. Tell them, neighbor, your labor is not in vain. Every praise is not a waste. Every service is not a waste. Whatever you do for the Lord is not a waste. Be not dismayed. Whatever be done, God will. Thank you. Lord, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. That neighbor ain't shouting with you. So go find a shouting partner and tell a neighbor, I am a witness. I've been serving the Lord. And there were times I wanted to throw in the towel. There were times when I didn't think it would work it. But tell a neighbor, just in the nick of time, it paid off. Tell them it paid off. It paid off. It paid off. Yeah. It paid off. Yeah. It's gonna pay off. It's not a waste. Can I get some help in here? Tell somebody it's not a waste. Come on, stand to your feet. Give him glory. It's not a waste. I held you too long. I want to encourage somebody who need to get beyond them critics. Jesus says, wherever the gospel is preached, you got to mention this woman. Sometimes you'll get criticism from church folk. Yeah. Yeah. I came from Shreveport to tell you, keep on keeping on. Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing it for the Lord,
yes, sir.
It's going to pay off.
Yeah. Work, man.
It's going to pay off. Keep praying. It's going to pay off. Keep serving. It's going to pay off. If this word was for you tonight, I want you to make your way out into the aisles. We got enough room for you to stay social distance.
Come on to the altar, Reverend. Bring them on to the altar.
Pastor, I needed that word tonight. That word was for me. Steady plodding is a barrel made full. Proverbs says, if you keep pitching pennies into a barrel, after a while, the barrel is going to be full of pennies. If you stick with it. I want to pray for you tonight so you can stick with it. It's going to pay off. Pastor, when is my child going to get it? I don't know, but keep giving it to
him. Yeah.
It's going to pay off after a while.
It
won't always be like this. God will perfect that concerning you. Hey, and sooner or later,
yes, sir,
it's gonna turn in your favor. God is turning around for you. It won't always be like this. God will perfect that concerning you. Oh, sooner or later. Think I got some witnesses in here tonight. It's gonna turn in your favor. God is turning around for you. Around for you. Around for you. Around for you. He's turning around for you. Around for you. Come on, just lift your hands and claim it. Around for me. Around for me. It's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Turn it around me. God, I thank you tonight for speaking your word to us. This woman shows us tonight. Jesus defends her tonight. And somewhere he's defending us and saying it's not a waste. Our labor is not in vain. God, I pray tonight for that person in this sanctuary who's been criticized. What they've been criticized, they've been not as much criticism, but who it came from. Ah, God. I pray that their faith fail not. Some people, God, tonight, mama means well, but somebody this time need to keep on going even though mama says stop. Other religious personalities tell them to stop, but God, they need to keep on going. I pray tonight for faith to keep on going. God, help them get beyond the criticism. There's a blessing up the road if they can stick with it. Give them strength. Get beyond the criticism. Because time is running out. In Jesus' name. And on the count of three, I want you to praise God like you ain't never praised Him before. Because you don't get beyond the criticism. I want you to lift your voice like you've never lifted it before on the count of three. Because your praise needs to be louder than the criticism. Brothers and sisters, this text doesn't record this woman saying anything. She ain't got to defend herself. She just keeps on blessing the Lord in spite of what folks say. I want that person who needs to get beyond criticism on the count of three. I want you to scream and holler in this place louder than your criticism, because people don't know what the Lord has done for you. One, two, three. Give Him glory. Come on, you gotta get louder than your critics.
preaching merits an invitation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, tonight is your night to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He talked about how the Lord Jesus Christ marched up the Via Dolorosa and died on the cross. He died in our place for our good. He died to save the lost. Jesus himself said he came seeking to save the lost. Well, how can I be saved? By simply believing in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He came from glory. He came from heaven. He tabernacled among the human predicament for 33 and a half years. He died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. The Bible says if you can believe that in your heart and confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, you're saved. Come today. You can be saved. Secondly, you're here tonight and you need to be restored. We've just had prayer restoration. Your altar experience was restoration. God got some stuff out of your way and made your way straight and made it smooth. Restoration. We knew exactly where we were and what we needed. That prayer of restoration. Thirdly, need of a church home. Listen, being without a church is like a baby without parents. You need a family, a faith. You need the love of the Lord shared with you from the people of God. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. You can't make it alone. No man is an island. We are interdependent, interwoven. From the very beginning, he said, it is not good that man be alone. So he made us communal, needing people, not just the Lord, but needing people. If you only needed the Lord, you'd be the only one on earth. But he put people in your life. He put people on your path for fellowship. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. If you're here tonight and you need a church home, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Bless you, baby. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. We can do better than that. God has blessed us again. Amen. Thank you. Come on, there's another. There's another. There's another. Come on, if you're not saved, if you need a church home, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Come on. Don't you sit down, God. Don't you disregard the invitation. God is nudging you, tugging at your spirit, and you're sitting there, putting off the night for some other time. You need the Lord now. You need Him now. Don't worry about the people around you. Don't worry about what they will say. All you need to focus on is your relationship, your fellowship with God. Glory to His name. Come on, bless the Lord again. Come on. Amen. Sister Janae Van, amen. So happy to have you and to receive you. Amen. Christian experience, that means that you're already saved. You've already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You believe Him in your heart, and you have confessed Him with your mouth. But you are coming to us to be a part of this family. You have orientation. Come on, bless Him. Amen. We have orientation, and I had the privilege of taking your mom and dad through orientation via Zoom. Amen. And we thank God that He has sent you this way. You'll be able to join us for orientation classes on Sunday. Amen. On Sundays, you'll be at work. Amen. What I want you to do is get with your aunt. And she takes care of our Zoom orientation classes. And time does good for you. We will share with you the orientation lessons, the four lessons. And then afterward, we will welcome you into the family. And we want you to be a part of the core ministry, not a spectator, but a participator. That God can get glory out of your life, and He'll do a big in you and through you. Amen. Come on, bless God again. Amen. Amen. Revival. Revival. Listen, get your best gift in your hand. I don't talk much after preaching because I want you to go home with the message. Get your best gift in your hand. This is your last night to sow into this revival. What a wonderful revival this has been. What a wonderful, wonderful, what a preacher. What a preacher. Amen. Thank God for Dr. Oliver. Amen. We thank God for His presence. I want to thank all preachers and pastors for being here, ladies, for supporting this revival, the deacons and trustees and who have led us in devotion every night. Thank you for those of you who participated in prayer. Our choir, our awesome choir. Come on, bless God for them. Musicians. Amen. We have our friend here again from New Orleans, Louisiana. What's your last name? Reverend Thomas. Amen. What a skillful musician he is. Along with all of our musicians, thank God for all of you, your prayers, the ushers, and the environmental safety team, the media ministry that made a connection from this place to many places, many homes and phones and all of that, so that the word could catch the four winds and go to the four corners of the earth. We believe that this word preached this week will reach people we don't even know, we have never met. It will help the kingdom be extended, exalted, and illustrated in the earth. Thank God for Pastor Meredith Walker. Thank God for Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims, Reverend Woods, Reverend Van, Dr. Rogers. Amen. Dr. Craig. Amen. And Brother Sandy. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Best gift in your hand. Best gift in your hand. Best gift in your hand. All hearts and minds clear. We'll hear back from the preacher. He will bless the offering and we'll have closing words and then bless the offering and dismiss us. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for just being so kind. It is my prayer that God use me to say something to you that will change your life forever. Stand to your feet.
Serving Lord is gonna pay off after a while. serving the Lord. Gonna pay on after a while. Just keep on working every day. Whatever is right, God said He would pay. Serving the Lord, won't pay off after a while. And I say that one more time, and I'm gonna leave y'all alone. Serving the Lord, He's gonna pay off. Communion of His Holy Spirit rest, rule, and remain with us henceforth, now, and forever. Let us all respond, Amen. Amen.